Authors Radio, amplifying voices, inspiring the world. I'm your host, Alba Mireles, and I'm absolutely delighted to welcome today's guest, Rhonda Everson, author of the book titled Matthew's Study Guide, A Prophecy and Apology View. We're here to celebrate your creativity and explore the world you crafted in this book. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm happy to be here.
So let's start with your journey as an author. Like, what first drew you in writing?
Well, I'm a retired English professor, and I've actually been writing a long time, just not this kind of a book. You know, I've written a lot of textbooks. I've written articles. As an English professor, I had to write in order to be an English professor. They published it in, professional journals and things like that. That's what you have to do if you're going to be an English professor. And this particular one, when I was a student at the university, there was a Japanese girl. I was in the United States. She was in the United States. And she was hanging out with a lot of Christians, okay? And I found her crying. And she said to me, she said to me, everybody understands something that I don't understand. And to comfort her, I said, don't worry, I'll help you understand. And she wanted to know what all these people around her understood. So I'm a Christian, so I just sat down and thought, I'd just read the book of Matthew with her. Well, it made me study a lot. As an English professor, I study a lot anyway. I read a lot, I study a lot. And there's a lot of things in Matthew that people really don't think about when they read it. They skip over so many things. And Matthew actually, if you read it right, it proves that God is God. It proves that the Bible is the Word of God. And it also proves that Jesus is the Messiah that was promised from the Old Testament. But we got together, and it's the first time I ever did something like that, and we read through the book of Matthew together. At the end, I got a phone call saying she wanted to be a Christian. And she went back to Japan, and she started translating for all the missionaries, okay? But after that happened, I became an I taught at universities in the States, but I also taught overseas. And I would do things like when I was in a boarding house in Japan, I just put a sign up in the kitchen area, and I said, anybody who wants to read the Bible with me, come to my room at a certain time. And my room was just filled with girls. Or when I was teaching at a university in Korea, I would just make an announcement. Anybody that wants to study the Bible with me, come to my office at a certain time. And my office was so filled with students, we had to look for chairs. People are curious. And I just stayed with the book of Matthew because it presents the basic story. And so then what I did, it pumped up churches, it started churches. I read it as an English teacher. You know, English teachers look at the grammar, they look at the thesis sentence, that's what I am. I'm an English teacher. And I think what it all boils down to is when people read this, and when I read through it with them, it pumped their faith up if they were already Christians. And if they weren't Christians, it's like, wow, this has validity to it. And so when last winter I had pneumonia, I had just gotten done teaching. There was a group of Hispanic ladies, and I had just got done going through Matthew with them in Spanish. and I had pneumonia. I couldn't go anywhere. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to sit down and type out what I've been teaching in Matthew. And that's what I did. And then a couple weeks ago, a doctor gave me the wrong medicine. I'm 70 years old. I don't know if you can tell. I'm retired. Couple weeks ago, a doctor gave me the wrong medicine, and that medicine was so hard on me, it stuck, it wound me up in the hospital. And my daughter got a hold of my, she got a hold of where I'd been typing, and she published it. And this is what's happened. Okay. And now they're all saying, give us more. Go ahead.
Yeah, because your study guide bring together like prophecy and apologies in a very thoughtful way. Why did you choose Matthew Gospel for this project?
Why did I choose Matthew? Well, initially it's the first book in the New Testament. And that's where I started. I started because it was the first book. It's the story of Christ. And this Japanese girl needed to know some basics about Christianity. And when I went through it, everybody else chooses another book. Or they focus on whatever their religion is pushing. But that's not what I was doing. I was just trying to help this Japanese understand the basics of Christianity. And that's all I was doing. Is when I would invite people to come and read with me, it's just the basics of Christianity. You know, we all want to know, you know, is God real? Is the Bible really real? You know, and that's what this book does for people. It pumps their faith up, or it gives them faith that they didn't have. You know, and I think that's why they like it. I mean, one guy came to me and asked for the link, and I said, "Why do you want the link? You don't even read." And he said, "No, but my neighbors want it." You know.
Yeah, they want to know. And some people find the Bible hard to understand. Like, how does your guide help modern readers connect with Scripture?
Well, you know, I'm an English teacher. And English teachers are used to getting in the classroom, reading difficult books. I read difficult books. To get my degrees, I had to read difficult books. And I would write about those difficult books. And so I would get in the classroom, and I would read the difficult books with my students, and I would make sure they understood them. I would teach them how to write essays, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that's what I did with Matthew. You know, I took Matthew and I pulled it apart like an English professor does, you know, and I made sure that the level that I wrote on was not so high that somebody couldn't grasp it. It's like, a lot of people don't realize that every one of the books in the New Testament have thesis sentences. Well, one of the problems that we have is a lot of people that pick up the Bible to read it don't even know what a thesis sentence is. And so they pick up the Bible and they start reading and they get everything all mixed up. They don't know what they're reading. And then there's special kind of symbolism used in the Bible that only the Jews use. The rest of the cultures around the globe, we don't use the kind of symbolism they use. But when you get into the Bible and you really want to understand, you figure out what kind of symbolism it is. As an English professor, I knew that was important for me to understand. When they start talking about, you know, something like the moon is turning to blood, I'm going, really? What on earth is... But it's a different kind of symbolism. The moon's not actually turning to blood. And it's not one thing, you know, symbolizing another. It's like something shocking is going on. That's what that means. but it's a special kind of symbolism that comes from the Jews. And they for, you know, in English, we think one thing has to symbolize one another thing. What they do is they take a group of words, a sentence or two or three sentences, and the feeling that comes out of that is the symbol. You understand what I'm saying? Anyway, but people, when people pick it up and read it, they read all kinds of crazy things into the Bible. And they come back saying crazy things because they don't understand what they're reading. But I took a lot of the nonsense out of it because people who don't know what they're doing sit down and read it and read nonsense into it.
Anyway. Yeah, and you make it this easy to read and like a kind of guide so you can take the best of the first chapter. So what do you hope the readers will walk away with after completing your Matthew study guide?
I hope that their faith in God will be strengthened. I hope that their faith in Christ will be strengthened. And I hope they'll understand that the Bible really is from God. And maybe they will understand that the Bible's not really full of hocus pocus. It really is not. People really don't always understand what they're reading, and that's why they come back saying crazy things. And, you know, my dad ran away from churches. And it's because he was around churches where while he was growing up, he was around churches that did some pretty crazy things. And he didn't want to go back to church, period. And when I was in high school, my mother started going to church. And the first thing I did was I had to go and I had to research. I had to understand that I wasn't going to do something crazy if I joined this group. And I also had to understand that this was real, because I started reading the Bible thinking it was something good. I liked what I was reading. I mean, love, joy, peace. Who doesn't like that kind of stuff? But what if it's not even true? What if somebody's manipulating us? And I had to figure out where the Bible came from before I could even accept it. But you know what? My book helps with those kind of things. You know, I was lucky because there was a man who figured out that I had trouble with where the Bible came from, and he taught a class on where the Bible came from. And that helped me a lot. This book will help people who are not quite sure about where the Bible came from. It helps that problem. And it also helps with, you know, this hocus pocus stuff that my dad was running away from. The Bible, it's not in the Bible. It's not hocus pocus. You know, that's the way it is.
And but writing sometimes can be like lonely and transformative. Like, what has writing taught you about yourself?
What's it taught me about myself? I enjoy writing. You know, I've always enjoyed reading and writing. I'm one of those people that I could get into a book and just stay immersed and be there and be, if I did not have to come out of the book and go eat and take a bath and do things like that, I wouldn't do it. I'd just stay in that book as a reader. That's, you know, a good reason to become an English major. Okay. But I can do that when I write too. I really, really enjoy it. And, you know, I was upset this last winter because my daughter had a baby a couple of years ago. And I was with her when she had the baby. And I got to take care of that baby as if it were mine, because she was living with me and she was going to work. And her husband had left her. And it was like that baby's mine for two whole years. That baby was mine, and I was, you know, loving that baby to death. And all of a sudden, she decided it's time for her to move out and get her own house. And then she would just bring him back for me to babysit. And then when I got sick, she didn't want to bring him at all. And I was so lonely, and I was sick, and I wanted so much to do something productive, understand? And I thought, this is what I'm going to do. I can still contribute to this world. I have a lot in me. I'm not going to be counted out yet. I can contribute and do something good. So I sat down and wrote Matthew.
Yeah, and do you plan to explore other books or the Bible or topics in the future? Like, are you working on something?
Oh, yes. Because when they started saying to me, we want you to continue the story, when I was teaching the book of Matthew to the people who would gather around me, they would say, we want to continue. And so what I would do is I'd go into the book of Acts, because that does continue the story. Because at the end of Matthew, Jesus, you know, he's crucified, he rises from the dead. And at the beginning of Acts, Jesus has risen from the dead, and he's giving his last instructions to his apostles before he goes back into heaven, and then the church begins. And it talks about the apostles and how the church spread. And so it's kind of a natural flow, go from one of the gospels straight into Acts. And then somebody was asking me that the other day, and they said, well, if you're going to do that, after you do Acts, why don't you just go ahead and do some more of the letters? And guess what? There were people that had me teaching them after I did Acts. They'd say, well, why don't you do Romans and why don't you do Hebrews? I did those things for them. And I guess if people want me to keep writing, I can just keep writing and explaining all the hard stuff for them, because I can understand the hard stuff. That's what my husband used. He's gone now, but my husband used to say, you understand all the hard stuff, but you make it easy when you talk. And that's what I do. I understand hard stuff, and I make it easy for people.
That's awesome.
I speak six languages. I understand hard stuff. I speak Korean, and I was really surprised when they said the American government says Korean is the second hardest language in the world. And I speak Romanian like I speak English. And I heard them saying that they thought Romanian is the hardest Latin language. I don't consider Romanian hard. I learned to speak Romanian in 6 months. I mean, I understand hard stuff. That's just the way it is. And I can make it easy. That's a talent that was given to me, you know. And that's what I do with my books.
You're a very talented girl. Yeah, of course. You know, it's like, it's something that for us or for people, it's hard to understand. And the way that you place all those, you know, thinkings or thoughts in a book, that it's easy to understand and it's a guide. It's something that it really helps. And finally, where can people find your books and connect with you? And what if they want to learn more or get in touch with you? What they can do?
Well, my book is online. It's a, you know, look on Amazon on Kindle, and you can either find it, you know, you can either order it, you know, as a book that you can order it and have it in your hands, or you can read it as a virtual book on Kindle. Or, and then you can, if you want to find me, I'm on Facebook. That's how a lot of these people are finding me. I had a human rights activist from England contact me on Facebook saying, why did you write this book? Wow, I didn't expect that one at all. why a human rights activist interested in why I wrote the book. You know.
Yeah, but that's awesome. You can connect with more people all around the world.
Yeah. Yeah. People are interested in the book. Whatever. And maybe somebody will see your podcast and, you know, they'll have an interest in it. I'm not pushing any religion, except maybe Christianity, you know. I'm not pushing any particular sect. I'm just pushing, I guess I am pushing, you know, Christianity. All I'm doing is picking up the Bible and trying to make what's there more understandable, like an English professor does with a piece of literature. That's what I'm doing.
And I think at the end of the day, you're helping people. And that's the most important thing. And thank you so much, Rhonda. It has been a pleasure having you on Authors Radio. And thank you for giving us a glimpse into your work and sharing your passion. And listeners, be sure to check her book. Thank you for turning into Authors Radio, Amplifying Voices, Inspiring the World. Join me next time for another conversation. And in the meantime, happy listening.